SBS Radio.
Obviously, being Australian and being in America right now and seeing the global reaction to what's happening, and then I guess the lack of reaction in Australia to what's happening, I really started to reflect on, I guess, my job and the place that I grew up, and really started to think about all the times that I was used in fashion campaigns to advance a message of diversity and inclusion in advertising to the wider Australian population. But, you know, then suddenly there was silence from a lot of the brands that I'd worked for, and it's the same in the US as well. And it just really got me thinking, why aren't you all standing in solidarity? You know, it's no longer a political thing to not rock the boat kind of thing. It's a matter of human rights and people's lives, and I just felt like my inclusion had become, you know, it was purely for the brand's financial gains as opposed to the actual message of inclusion.
Racism is something you've been discussing with the CEO of Chelsea, Bonner. How is this conversation going? Because this is something that has been denounced. I remember last year we had a controversy with the African-Australian black model who was misrepresented in the media and so on. So it's something that's been happening. Tell us a little bit about this conversation you've been having.
Yeah, I think I've always been speaking to Chelsea about my issues with racism in the wider Australian media landscape, but also in the fashion industry.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, in Australia, nothing to do with racism is overt. It's never really in your face, racism. It's all the I guess the covert racism, the things that are said under your breath, or, you know, to your friends and family behind closed doors, that does the most damage. And I think the lack of representation, I find that the lack of representation of diverse bodies and ethnicities in the mainstream Australian media is something that, you know, I've experienced my entire life. It's only until recently, you know, that we've had racial diversity in advertising campaigns in an ad for Telstra or, you know, for a fashion brand. You know, it's only just starting to change now, and it's still not good enough. And I think when you don't see yourself represented in basic Australian culture, it makes you feel that you don't belong. And to constantly grow up with that message being sent to you through advertising, through television shows, through, you know, news programs where there's no racial representation in reporters, it's, you know, it really chips away at you over time and really plays with your self-worth and self-confidence.
A few weeks ago, we had a TV show on NITV where it was being portrayed that actually, in the Indigenous community at least, Indigenous fashion designers, Indigenous artists are the ones who are now taking the lead instead of waiting to be called upon to play big roles in movies or on the screen. They're actually now creating their own art and their own pieces where they feature as, let's say, action heroes, because in most pieces they would be given the role of a villain or the maid or second roles, and usually demeaning roles, but now they've started really taking things in their own hands. Do you see the same happening in the fashion industry?
I definitely think it's going to start happening in America, and I hope it does start happening in Australia as well, because, you know, I just think we can't sit around and wait for the opportunities to be given to us, because clearly they're not being given to us. And in order to show our beauty and our versatility in you know, creation, photography, makeup, hair, you know, we're not getting the opportunity. So absolutely create them ourselves.
Indigenous creators are taking things in their own hands. Is it the case in the fashion industry where you've got designers and models taking things in their own hands, creating maybe their own labels and things like that?
I definitely think that is happening, and I know amongst my friends, my black friends, and and other, you know, Indigenous and people of colour, we are all in communication with each other. We're all hiring, you know, our friends and our, not necessarily friends, but other people in the industry that, that share the same values, because we're all trying to get that same opportunity. So there's, it's not uncommon that, you know, there'll be a photo shoot with an all black crew. And yeah, I think the same goes with some movies that are being produced. I'm not sure. I don't think there's a lot happening at the moment.
Yeah.
Just yet, because a lot of people, you know, with COVID-19 lockdown restrictions, we can't actually meet in person and actually create anything. But I know that the kind of foundations are being laid now to start things when we're allowed to gather again. But yeah, it's definitely happening.
Yeah. But you're, in your piece, you're not only just calling for things to happen, you're also calling for action for justice and peace. Tell us about this call for law and justice, fairer law and justice system.
I think at the moment, people are targeted or people are treated differently because of the colour of their skin, or targeted because of the way that their surname looks on a piece of paper when they're applying for a job. And I think, you know, that's not okay. It's not okay. It's a violation of fundamental human rights. And, you know, police brutality has to stop. There's no reason why all of these people are killed just because of the way that they look. And it's not fair. And I think, you know, reform needs to happen on an institutional level. So that's really looking within our organisations, our governments, our law enforcement, our legal departments, and really seeing, you know, who is actually representing the whole population, and making sure that voices are in these boardrooms and in these high positions, so that we can make sure that when laws are passed or when they're being proposed, that they're being met with, you know, all ears, and so that minorities aren't overlooked.
Yeah, and you call for action also for some donations to be made to this organisation as well, to a certain organisation.
Yeah, the National Justice Project does a really good job with liaising with law enforcement and helping those, just to get justice, whether they're unfairly accused, and also helping refugee communities with legal services. And it's a really good organisation, and they rely solely on donations. They don't get any government funding, so that's why I've kind of put the call out.
No, I fully understand that. It goes beyond just the mainstream communities. The refugee situation is on the fringes of every discourse that we have around. It's always viewed through the angle of people breaching the borders and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
Side of it,
It's the, you know, when I was talking earlier about the covert racism, it's the language that's used in the media to report on refugee issues, on migrant issues, the painting of the picture that, you know, they are illegal and all that sort of thing. There's been a real narrative formed around refugee communities in Australia.
Yeah.
And because of that, people's perceptions of refugees are really bad.
Yeah.
And they're just, you know, human beings that have left horrible conditions back home to try and start a better life. And, you know, then they're not being met with the same dignity and respect, you know, in Australia. And it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah. And you're also known to be a campaigner for equal rights for women as well. And this is something I haven't touched, and it's something I could probably have asked even before. You're for empowerment of women.
Well, I think as a woman, you kind of have to be for the empowerment of women. I think all women deserve the same opportunities as men. And, you know, as a woman of colour, we don't get the same kinds of opportunities even as our white women counterparts. So, you know, I'm really pushing for just equal opportunity, and even things like education for women is so important, so that, you know, we can all be educated to make decisions and have the same opportunities. It's kind of a no-brainer to be a campaigner for women's empowerment, absolutely.
Yeah, most definitely. And one question I wanted to ask you is just about maybe, because I mentioned earlier this one of the models who was not properly, they used the wrong photo in the media last year when they were doing a story about her, and they mistook her for someone else. Can you tell us maybe a situation where you might have experienced racism yourself?
Similar things have happened to me in Australia. There are a couple of other models that, you know, we don't look the same, but we have similar features, and we often got mistook for each other, and I feel like we all look very, very different. There was one photographer that I was working with, and, you know, was coming into summer, and the Australian sun, we all know, is really strong. And I, over the summer, definitely just naturally go darker because of sun exposure and my DNA. And he told me to be careful not to get too dark in the sun and to wear sunscreen. And I had to tell him, like, I do wear sunscreen. I get dark even if I wear sunscreen, because that's my pigmentation. It just happens that way. You know, that is just, it's just subtle. It's not like very blatant, but it definitely made me question, like, why, if I was to be darker, why would that be a problem? And then, something similar in terms of, like, skin color happened on set. I arrived after, once again, after my summer holiday, and the makeup artist said to me that she wasn't expecting me to look the way that I looked, and I had to question her and ask, you know, why is that? How did you expect me to look? And she said, well, the images that we were sent from your agency, your skin was a light olive and you're brown. And I said, well, yeah, that photo was taken when I lived in London, and London has no sun. and I've just been on summer holiday, and you know, I've kind of taken my colour back.
Yeah.
And she just kind of said to me again, oh, well, the client is expecting you to be an olive colour. And I said, I can't do anything about that now.
Yeah.
And that, again, just makes you feel like the colour that you are is not worthy. You know, but I feel like I've become so used to it that I just laugh it off like it hasn't actually offended me, and I just kind of add it to my little jar of racial insults that I've experienced over the years and put them away in my body. But,
it's
never okay.
Yeah. And have you ever been refused a job because of your skin color? Because I can tell, for instance, I've got a friend of mine who is in finance. He's got an Aussie accent. He was born in Australia, but he's of Sudanese background, and he works in finance, and he was given a job, and the interaction on the phone was perfect, but as soon as they had a face-to-face interaction, the deal was almost off, and there was really visibly a shock when they saw him arrive in the boardroom. They were expecting someone different, and a story that I was told. And his bosses backed him up because the online interaction and the phone conversations had been positive so far until they saw him. Did you ever experience something like that?
Look, I haven't experienced anything like that personally. I don't think, or if I have, it hasn't been that noticeable that I've been aware of it.
Yeah.
But I know it has happened to my dad.
Yeah.
My dad is a chef, and when I was younger, he was doing some really great things, designing menus for a lot of the restaurants at a very prominent Melbourne casino.
Yeah.
And, you know, he designed the menus, and he had an opportunity to kind of be the face and open one of these restaurants.
Yeah.
And he went through the interview process. It was basically a surefire thing that he was going to you know, developed this menu, opened the restaurant, went for the interview because this is before the days of, you know, Skype calls and all of that sort of thing. So he was flown up to meet someone for a face-to-face interview to sign the contract, you know?
Yeah.
And he came back from the work, the business trip, and he didn't have a contract signed. To this day, the way that my parents have told it to me is that they were expecting a French chef.
Yeah.
And he was not the vision of the French chef that they were expecting. And
do they not know their geography and history? France is has got overseas territory.
I know. Yeah. but yeah, so it really breaks my heart, and I think that's why I'm fighting as hard as I am fighting for the dismantling of all of this racist narrative in Australia, because it's really affected both my brother and my father.
Yeah.
And, you know, my dad didn't get to excel in his career the way that I believe he should have because of the colour of his skin. And he'll have to work longer than his peers because of the opportunity that he didn't get.
Yeah.
It's a topic very close to my heart.
Yeah. So it's something that you've lived and experienced firsthand, I would say.
Yeah.
And before I let you go, anything we haven't covered that is really important, because I ask so many questions and sometimes I go off topic, but there might be something you really want to bring to the attention of our listeners today.
Yeah, I just really want people to challenge what they already know. I think there's a tendency in Australia to think that things that are happening around the world aren't affecting them.
Yeah.
That we are so far away from everything, it's really easy to disconnect.
Yeah.
But it's no longer okay to do that. We're talking now about people's lives, about, you know, future generations' lives, and I want to leave the world a better place for my future children, my future grandchildren. And I think, you know, if people have any ounce of compassion in their bodies, they'll want the same thing. So just really change up the way that you think about things. Educate yourselves. We're all going to make mistakes. You know, even I'm still learning, and I'm living the experience. It's okay to make mistakes, because you learn from your mistakes and you grow as a result.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.